Hello. Welcome to the Kickoff and Beyond. I'm Eric, here with my co-host Alvi. Interesting stuff today. The Manchester City versus Manchester United FA Community Shield game just happened. We're going to break that down. And then later on in the show, we're going to give our pick for the four games for week one of the Premier League season, what games we're going to be watching. So first, we got the Manchester City versus Manchester United game that just happened. Manchester City won on penalties. So what are your takeaways, Alvi, on this Manchester derby game?
From what I've seen, it looked like Manchester United looked pretty good. I felt like they were passing really well. They had a lot of chances. I think that one pass to Mason Mount, I felt like that player should have went straight for the goal. When he crossed it to Mason Mount, I felt like he should have been a little bit more selfish and gone straight for the goal. It was a good pass, but I don't think Mason Mount was expecting it because he was pretty much free. I know it was like the first post, the goalie was covering it, but I felt like he was alone enough to take a really good shot.
But yeah, so Manchester City ends up winning. And did this game change how you feel about either team, about United or City, to begin the season?
Not really for Manchester City. I felt like they didn't really take the game too seriously. I don't know, after the last guy took the penalty, no one really celebrated. But for Manchester United, they looked really good. I felt like it was kind of boring the first half, but I felt like they were passing the ball well. They had great chances. I've seen some good things from Garnacho, but I'm not sure how they're going to play him. We'll see how the season is. But I feel like Man U looks better than last season.
I'm definitely way more positive. Granted, all that positivity can go away if they like eat it against Fulham on Friday.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of people on while I was going through their subreddit, and a lot of people were optimistic for the season. They liked what they saw today.
I guess we'll move on and we'll talk about, because in the middle of the game when I was watching it, they made the announcement United is going to get Delight on transfer. I don't know very much about him. Do you got any information about him? And you know,
I know that he's a good player. He's a great center back, still pretty young. I feel like he'll be a great addition to the team.
So during the game, Rashford had two really good goal scoring opportunities, missed them both. There's a lot of chatter going on now about that they need to bench him and they need to start playing like a Garnacho or someone like that to begin the season. What are your thoughts on that?
From what I've seen and also from last season, I think it's time to probably move on from Rashford. I don't know. I feel like he misses so many big shots and sometimes not even close. I feel like the first shot he missed in the game, I feel like he wasn't even close and he was like pretty one-on-one with the goalie on the left side. Yeah, I think he should be benched or I don't know, maybe transfer. I don't know. Maybe it's time Man U moves away from him. Because, I don't know, I was watching the interviews and it didn't sound like Ten Hag was talking pretty well about him. It didn't sound like anything was going to happen. So we'll see. He's most likely going to start with Fulham.
No, yeah, I fully believe that he's going to like pretty much run with the same lineup. Basically, for Rashford to like lose that starting position, I feel like he has to like really bottle it. Like bad.
Yes, if he keeps this up, this kind of form, I think Ten Hag is probably going to have to bench him. I feel like there's going to be a lot of pressure. All right, so let's move on. So for the beginning of the season, week one, we decided to pick four games.
First one's going to be Manchester United versus Fulham. Given what just happened against the City, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how they fare. Fulham is a pretty beatable team for United. They should win this game. If they don't, they can tailspin super easily.
Oh, and also we chose Arsenal versus Wolves because, well, the reason we're watching a lot of Man U and Arsenal is because Eric is a Man U fan and I'm an Arsenal fan. So that's probably what we're going to talk about almost every week. That's why we mainly picked Manchester United versus Fulham and Arsenal versus Wolves. But for Chelsea versus Man City, we've been seeing a lot of talks of Chelsea probably being a top four team this season. So we're going to try to see how they fare against Man City. What do you think? What do you think they're going to...
Chelsea's an interesting team because I don't understand why people have them so high up, especially from how they finish. Well, I guess it's because they finished the end of the season a little way stronger than the beginning. Yeah, I don't understand the hype. So I figured this would be a good game to watch, especially it's against the defending, you know, four-time champions of Man City. So it's definitely a good like measuring stick for Chelsea, like to see how they like. I'm assuming they're gonna lose because it's Man City, but depending on how they play, like can kind of dictate maybe where Chelsea's headed, possibly.
Yeah, because even right now with the Community Shield, even though Man U lost, they looked really well. So we'll see how Chelsea plays against them. And then for our last game, we have Everton versus Brighton. Pretty much because we thought, or we think it's going to be a more even matchup after viewing the Premier League, because we don't really want to watch Liverpool drop 5 points.
I guess it, yeah, I can't pronounce their name, but... yeah, and Everton's kind of a cool that's they're another team that is, people have them getting relegated this year actually, like a lot of the people that I follow that were making prediction videos, some of them have Everton like getting relegated, which I think would be kind of crazy. And then Brighton is kind of like those like I don't know, I guess you can view them as like the indie pick, like people who don't like supporting like the big six. Typically like supporting, at least here in the States, like supporting like a Brighton, especially from like last year they did very well.
So yeah, so I like watching Brighton games because I like that they pick up a lot of South American players. And one player I want to look at this year is Valentin Barco from Argentina. I want to see how he does. I want to see how he does in the Premier League.
Cool. So yeah, so those are the four games that we'll be watching, that we'll be reviewing for next week's show. So again, Manchester United versus Fulham, Arsenal Wolves, Chelsea Man City, and Everton Brighton. I guess we'll go into our early, like way too early predictions of where we think teams are going to land for the Premier League. I didn't want to go through the whole list of people, especially because like I don't feel like talking about like the 16th place team or whatever. So we kind of just broke it up. And actually, I stole this from the Premier League app. So shout out to them. But so we're basically going to break it down. Got the champions, who's going to be top four, and then who we think is going to be like the surprise, like dark horse. So I guess we'll start with just a surprise team. Like, do you have anyone that you think is going to do better than people anticipate?
I feel like Liverpool is still going to be fighting for the top, even though Klopp is out there fighting for like the top two spot. I feel like they might do pretty well. If not, I don't know. I'm going to go for Brighton. And what about you? What's your dark horse for the season?
I got Newcastle. From everything that I've been reading, people don't really know what to make of Newcastle. Some people got them being real low. Other people got them being like fifth or sixth in the league. And I think they will be like somewhere around there. Like they have the funds, they have the sort of infrastructure like to make it. And I don't know. I just think that maybe last year was maybe like kind of a fluky season, you know, because I know last year everyone had them making top four. And also they were playing Champions League football last season, where this year they're not. So they'll have less games to play, less games to worry about. So I think this year they're going to probably do a lot better than last year's performance.
So if you were to pick your top four for the season.
I don't want to feel like because I support the team or whatever that like. But I do feel like United has a chance to be like number four on the top four. But my only reservation is because they're playing Champions League football this year. I feel like Ten Hag's just on the hot seat, and he knows he has to do something this year. Because now there's not going to be any excuses, there's not going to be anything anymore if he can't get Champions League football for next season. So I think that with the team kind of already having been together, I think they can get top four. Then I think if I would have to do just the whole list from top to bottom, so I think it'd be Arsenal winning the league, City being right behind them, and then I guess maybe honestly Liverpool. I think Liverpool actually might get third. I think they're going to do really good this year. I feel like everyone's is saying that Arsenal's going to win. I feel like that kind of scares me that it seems like too many people have them winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be the usual. Arsenal's going to choke towards the end.
Well, hopefully not. I mean,
hopefully not.
They, I feel like they got more legs underneath them, especially because last year was their first year back in Champions League, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. So probably like they weren't used to all the games, the workload.
Right. So I think they're more prepared this time around to deal with it. But yeah, so who do you got for your top four?
My top four, well, obviously I have Arsenal, number one, undefeated season.
Nice.
Arsenal, Man City. don't know. I said Liverpool might be in the top four, but I'm not sure, to be honest. Because, well, I haven't been keeping track with transfers this offseason. Because I completely forgot about Aston Villa. They did really well. They're playing in Champions League this year. With them playing Champions League, I feel like they might actually drop down a little bit on the table. But we'll see. I feel like, so it'll be Arsenal, Man City. I have a feeling that Man U might be in the third spot. I feel. From what I saw this, I know, like, again, kind of a friendly game, but I feel like they were playing really well. And they added some good players. They've been playing really well from the back, like from the defenders passing forward. And now with someone who's higher class, in my opinion, I feel like they'll do really well. Fourth spot, I'm not sure. Maybe Liverpool. Maybe Spurs. I feel like, for me, Spurs and Liverpool are kind of like fourth and fifth.
They're like Ryan, they occupy kind of like the same area.
Yeah, yeah. They're kind of tied for me for the fourth spot.
Basically, who's going to occupy the last European spot? So, like, going to, like, Conference League or...
Yeah, so I think between Liverpool or Spurs, I feel like are going to occupy that fifth spot. Who do you have in the fifth?
I actually think it's... I got, this is cheating a little because I can't make up my mind. But to me, it's like this like weird three-way tie between like Chelsea, I think Brighton has a chance, and then Tottenham. I feel like they're all kind of in that weird gray area. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if one of those three teams like just like kind of has like this like great run of form.
I don't know. That's why I like the Premier League. I feel like everything's like super close because, you know, for La Liga, you already know who's occupying the first two spots.
Oh, yeah.
Germany, you know who's winning the league.
Except for last year.
Oh, that's true.
You know, that, I mean, that unbeaten run was kind of crazy. Like, I was like after every week of that, I was even more impressed every week. I was like, no way. Like, this is really, like, it's like video game logic, you know?
But rip Harry Kane.
Champions less Harry Kane. Can't catch a break, man. That poor guy. Left Spurs to greener path. Harry Kane is an example of that saying of like, it's not always greener on the other side. Oh, I think that's him. Like, he could have just stayed in Tottenham. Not that Tottenham was going to win the league or anything, but could have won like an FA Cup or something maybe if he would have stuck around.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot more, not criticism, but like more coverage on him not winning. I feel like it probably hurts him a little bit too. I feel like it affects him mentally that he still hasn't won.
I mean, to be fair, when you transfer out of to go to a team who's won 10 consecutive league titles and then you don't win, it's kind of bad optics.
No, yeah. I feel super bad for him.
I feel a little bit bad for him too because I know he's like a really, really good player and stuff like that.
No, yeah.
But he's going to be one of those players that like, as time goes on, especially if he only has like one or two trophies by the time he retires, like people are going to severely underrate him. They're going to be like, oh, he was trash, or, you know, that's because that's always what happens. Like, funny enough, I was just listening to another podcast and they were talking about Haaland and how he hasn't, I think for Man City, he hasn't scored in like any finals games or something like that. Like, or
yeah.
People were talking about
he
that.
He hasn't scored in the finals.
Right. But my thing with him, though, is that, yeah, but he's won a treble. The one thing I know about how athletes are perceived, especially post-retirement and as years go on, is the younger generations that didn't watch these players are just going to look at stats and highlights. So, like, even if Haaland never scores a goal in the finals ever, but he has, like, five Champions League titles and, like, seven or eight league titles, I think people are going to not care.
Yeah, and I get it, he hasn't scored like in a final, but I feel like he's always scoring on all the other games, semifinals, quarterfinals. He's putting his team through to the finals. I feel like that shouldn't be ignored.
And also, like, I mean, the team's so deep. Like,
yeah.
And honestly, that's great on him. Like, he's probably loving that he doesn't, if he doesn't score, it's not the end of the world. Like, if he was on a team that was like that, like with that kind of pressure. You know, like, so he can go and do what he wants and score. And then if he doesn't, he knows that, well, he's got guys all around him that can score and they'll be fine. Because the end result is that they win championships. So,
But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like he's going to get criticized a lot more this season because after putting up, like, such great numbers, I feel like every season it has to be, like, kind of like a step up. And if he doesn't, they're just going to keep talking about other people. But we'll see. We'll see how the season is for him as well. I don't know. I want Arsenal to win, but I just know Man City's going to end up being number one. I don't know. I just feel like Man City is just too deep.
So that's about it for this episode. We will see you guys back on Thursday, and we'll kind of talk about the lead up to the Premier League season. Any other transfers that kind of happened throughout the week, we'll talk about it then. Any last closing words, Elby?
No. Well, thank you for listening. So see you guys next week.